Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey fam, welcome to Hey Fam. My name is Andrew Levins. This is my podcast, and today I'm very, very happy to be joined by last week I found out he was a world famous fashion designer. He is the official editor of the Coca-Cola Wikipedia page.
Thank you very much. That's more of a hobby, but it's still, I like it lumped in with my profession.
And the co-writer of, so far, this, you know, my favorite Kanye West Egg album.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's still yet to be recognized by the Grammys. We just got mixtapes. So next step is parody albums, I'm thinking.
Yep, that beautiful voice you're hearing right now is my co-host, Angus Truscott. This is Hey Fam.
Pleasure to be here.
Look, the best podcast
about video games.
About everything.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think last week's podcast was about anything, but I just knew it was... call from Steve.
Big old Jobs himself.
Steve Jobs, like, called us. They brought him back to life.
He's here. Well, he's never died. It's an Elvis scenario.
And he just said, hey, you know, don't tell anyone. Whoops.
Cat's out of the bag.
But I just thought that was the best... Like, your podcast that you recorded with Tommy Dassler last week.
Yeah.
That's why I invented podcasting.
Yeah, you handed me the phone. He's like, let me speak to Angus. He's like, look, the whole podcast thing's been going for about 10 years now, and I was starting to lose some faith. It's all serial this or true crime. That. I go, Steve, you're preaching to the choir. And he goes, look, I just happened to download the latest episode of 2015's Best New Podcast, Australian iTunes Store Award, Hey Fam. And, for 62 minutes, I had the best time of my life. And, yeah, podcasts are great. I'm not upset about being the godfather of podcasting.
Yeah, he said, I haven't had a drink in a few years, is what he told me.
Yeah.
But listen to that podcast. It felt like he just knocked back an entire case with the boys.
He
didn't
go near an open flame, he said. He was soaked in alcohol just after listening to it. I'm glad there was no... I was very worried. After... people that live with their parents, our next biggest demographic, pilots. And I was very glad to see planes weren't falling out of the sky, because I was just imagining every pilot listening to this episode, crashing planes, having the time of their life, getting drunk with the boys.
What podcast would you listen to if you were a pilot?
I think The Little Dum Dum Club, because Tommy Dassler is my favorite podcaster in the country.
And scene. On tonight's episode of Hey Fam, we're going to be talking about E3, the big gaming expo that happened in the States last week.
I thought it was about...
It was about flying.
I thought it was about E from Entourage. I was getting back into... I literally watched three episodes that were E-centric. Is that the research we had to do?
Who's your E3? Which favorite E episode?
The one where he does a girl reverse cowgirl, the one where he does Sloan reverse cowgirl, and the one when Sloan finds out he did the other girl reverse cowgirl. Is that what we had to do?
Same, bro. Greatest hits.
The Entourage position.
Really quick episode.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the games that we saw in the presentation last week. Plus, we saw some movies in the last week as well.
Yeah.
Angus,
of
course, being the thespian of the two of us. How many movies did you see for Sydney Film Festival?
I saw 12 films in about 8 days.
And how many of those would you say are relevant to the Hey Fam audience, the demographic?
I'd say like 2 to 3.
Okay.
Yeah. The rest is for my other podcast, The Deep End. Very all aquatic based. I was taking notes. I was going to a lot of baby classes, you know, when like kids, water birth classes. It's my other job now. I'm an instructor at water birthing, helping those ladies push those babies out.
Just really getting, laying down the groundwork.
Yeah, I was just inspired by the Nirvana record, Nevermind. And I've just always been, you know, captivated by little boys floating in pools with a dollar in front of them. Found out that our dollars sink, actually. And so they've been going really, been having to dive in and rescue some of those babies.
I can't wait to hear the first episode of this Deep End podcast.
Look, it's been knocked back by iTunes about 9 times. I've been trying new techniques.
Is that why you went into another room when Steve called you the other night?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, look, you've got to stop. And he listed, he said some big words like defamation and libel and said how I can't really get away with that anymore. And he wasn't going to, well, you know, I had one phone call when I got arrested for breaking into Ashfield pool at night to record an episode. And he said, look, I can't be your one phone call. I came back from the dead and it wasn't to take those calls. It was for me to call you.
What were the three movies that are relevant to our demographic?
One of them was The Red Turtle. That is a Studio Ghibli collab. So, you know, we all got a bit sad when Marnie Was There came out, I think 2 years ago. That was their last feature film. Mm-hmm. Which was another one based off of a novel. Good film. Wasn't my favorite.
Because the last Ghibli movie I saw was Arrietty. I don't like that at
all.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. That was one by... Oh, I forget the director's name. It's by the same director.
Right.
It would have been... I know that they're going through that weird transition period where are they... Do they exist anymore? I don't think they know if they exist. I mean, they exist in some fashion. They might just do TV, telly movies. But The Wind Rises, I thought, was like the last great one. That was Miyazaki's final film.
Sure.
So he said... But this was a collab with another director, a European director who won the Oscar for Best Short in 2000. And the art style is very different for Ghibli. It looks almost like Tintin. It's very Hergé influenced. Kind of thick, dark lines, dots for eyes. And the thing I like, and this is like such a fanboy thing, was it opened with the same, you know, pencil sketch of Totoro, but it had a red background. So maybe that'll be their new thing now when they do collabs with other film companies. Yeah, it was great.
Usually it's...
It's blue. It's like a nice blue. Very kind blue.
I was going to guess.
There's probably a lot of focus groups.
Poo brown.
No, not at all. It's not a nice one.
Camo.
Now, that's camo what I'm print. Talking about. I should have... I tell you what, I could have used some camo that night I recorded that episode in the pool. That would have taken a hell of a lot longer for me to get caught. It was great. It was dialogue free. It's kind of imagine Castaway, but a bit of a... With a bit of slight fairy tale-ness. So a man's just... You don't know why. He's just washed ashore. He's not a man from an island. He's on a desert island with just some crabs and some birds and a seal and stuff. And it's kind of like 20 years of him surviving on an island. It's amazing.
Is there that Ghibli whimsy?
Yeah, there's this huge turtle, which is maybe like the size of a car, mm-hmm. a red turtle, the titular red turtle, who keeps building boats a la Castaway to try and escape. But this big thing keeps bumping him from underneath. It's this massive turtle.
Are you sure that the Totoro background wasn't red because the movie's called The Red
Turtle?
No,
it was that. It was that reason too. But I think also it was a symbolic, okay. you know, thing. Right. Like, this isn't one of our films. We're sure. just helping out. Yeah, this turtle... So it's almost like this turtle doesn't want him to leave. And then eventually he... takes the turtle back to shore, hits it over the head because he's so angry. It's quite shocking. I was like a bit upset. And then the turtle the next morning like turns into a woman whom then he has a child with. And it's insane. This kind of like mermaid tale type thing. So Whoa. It's no dialogue. Beautiful. Tech guru Steve saw it with me of the Hey Fam extended family. Loved it. It was, yeah, it was beautiful. Really, you know, good length too. Like just a nice... A nice 80-minute length. I think that's great for an animation.
I think it's a perfect length of a movie.
I think so.
I saw Finding Dory on the weekend.
You saw another, yeah. You saw another aquatic-based film, I was wondering. Yeah.
Animated movie. Of course, the sequel to one of the most beloved Pixar movies, Finding Nemo.
Shrek 2. Oh, not Shrek 2?
Yeah. The most beloved Pixar movie, Shrek Forever After.
And I think in our Pixar episode where we count down, I think Nemo is in my top three from what I remember. I've always loved Nemo. I had a very... I don't know what it is. I guess I get overprotective of my pets. Kitty, my cat, and I have a very similar relationship to Marlin and Nemo. She has a little stubby tail, which I like to think is like Nemo's little arm. So I see a lot
and
of my...
she can't swim very well?
Well, look, we haven't even found out. That's how overprotective I am. But yeah.
If I recall that episode, which was almost a year ago now.
Yeah, that was one of our...
We must be stumbling pretty close to our first anniversary.
Oh, we've passed it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's fanfare. Now, let's just say last week's episode was a celebration. Our best episode ever.
It was our best. It was our worst. It was our first and our last.
But I remember saying that I didn't count Finding Nemo in my, you know, in my absolute
favorites. And I think I remember being shocked. Not shocked, but I was like, really? For some reason, I always deemed that was up there as one of the best ones. And I think it is. I think it made the most money for a long time.
I used to think that the road movie aspect of it was a bit... I know, I guess I like that, but the fact that all of the characterization of some of the fish
a bit predictable,
but I don't think that anymore. I rewatched it again on Thursday night with my son.
It's a perfect movie,
and yeah, it's just so good, and it's the emotional hilt of it. Of course, I have a theory now, though, that when you
become a dad,
you just like the very. Like, say the word Pixar.
Pixar.
Oh, I started crying.
I've had to, yeah.
You said
the... We just cut the episode there. I had to talk Levin's down and come back. He was crying for 15 minutes out the front of my house.
But I just cry so much more in Pixar movies now. And I never used to cry in Finding Nemo.
Really?
But...
See, I was really... I don't know. The bit that always got me, and you're probably going to start crying now, was at the end when he rescues Nemo and holds him, and then it flashes back to the cracked egg.
Destroyed.
Yeah. That's just, I don't know. I guess there was a really strong father-son aspect to that, which really shook my core or something.
Yeah. And I also get really, really emotional when Gil saves Nemo and fires, shoots him.
It's the best.
Yeah. It's
when he takes one for the team, basically.
I just, I thought
on the tray with all the like tools and stuff.
Yeah,
like the dentistry tools.
Yeah. And then he fires Nemo and says something like, say hi to your mum for me.
I hope she, oh, well, I haven't seen, very Rove. Rove was big,
Rove,
guys.
Yeah. Rove was actually in.
He's seagull.
He's a crab.
The crab that they, look, I haven't seen Dory. I'm going to be seeing it within the next few days.
I won't spoil it, but I will put, it's not as good as the Toy Story sequels are, which are better than the original.
I mean, the Toy Story movies, I still think they are the Mickey Mouse of Pixar. Like that's,
yeah,
that's it. Like that is Pixar.
But then, the Finding Dory, it's better than Monsters University.
Sure.
It's like leagues ahead of Cars and Brave and all that shit. But it's like a really it's a really sweet, but in the end, very unnecessary and kind of drawn out story.
Really?
Yeah. It's not. Okay. It doesn't quite capture. It's a bit like the antics. Level of stuff with it, that never ending action that you see in like Force Awakens and the Tintin movie, that kind of thing. Yeah. It's like that, but interspersed with like
emotional drama.
Yeah, but just like long explanations and really infuriating moments where like you know that that you know time is of the essence, and
you're like, why are you doing this?
Why are you having this talk now?
Yeah,
and then you know, of course, you know the door shuts or you know something gets locked and blah blah blah.
It's the same director as Nemo. Was it Andrew Stanton?
I don't actually check all that stuff.
Yeah, no, that's probably something I should. I know it's the guy who left to do John Carter, which failed miserably. But he still wants to get into live action. He said more so.
Live action fish though.
Yeah, Jaws reboot or something, or just I don't know. I mean,
but yeah, we'll talk about it more in depth when you've seen it.
I'm really looking forward to it. It's kind of unfortunately the Pixar movie I've left the most. I'm normally, he did Nemo and Dory, and he also did Wall-E.
Oh, cool. Right. Yeah, that's surprising because there is...
Actually, I don't think he did Wall-E. It just come up in his credits, but you know how every Pixar employee does everything on everyone's. Yeah. He wrote Wall-E.
Right, wow.
Yeah, which I think is in my top three also.
Yeah, there's some great flashback scenes with a young Dory that maybe hint on like the same emotional level that you get in Finding Nemo.
But okay.
Yeah, I won't say anymore.
Now, I haven't seen it, as I've said a lot, but I found my least favorite thing about Finding Nemo, and this is probably very unpopular, was always Dory.
Right, so I fucking love Dory.
Sure.
And watching this again, the realization that the performance that Ellen DeGeneres gives as Dory is like, I think, the anchor of the entire movie.
Now, she annoyed me less... I think I saw it when I was 15, 16 or something when it came out.
Yeah, I found it quite annoying. Me too. I think I did too. But like seeing it...
So I want to rewatch Nemo.
Have a kid, Angus. Watch Finding Nemo. I
might just get one from the birth
class. I got very, very... I highly recommend watching Finding Nemo before seeing Dory.
Yeah. I mean, I know it pretty well, but I do want to watch it again just for those extra cameos and stuff from the first film, which, you know, I know that a lot of the cast has returned, like even background people. And, you know, as long as Mr. Ray is in it, the Stingray, he's like one of my favorite Pixar characters ever.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
He's the best. He's so great. Okay, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really bummed I didn't see it. It's because I was literally seeing 12 movies.
Yeah, I can't believe you saw 12 movies last week. That's fucked.
Yeah. Another one that was super relevant, which I thought was probably, and I was speaking to our lovers and our greatest enemies.
We're just
blank
lovers
slate
now.
Movie cast.
We're just lovers. We rebooted. We've just always been best friends now.
Yes. We did the opposite of Zack Snyder. We were edgy and dark at the start, but now we're all beautiful and friendly. Speaking to Alexi the other day. And
from the Blank Slate Movie Podcast.
From the Blank Slate Movie Podcast. And he too saw a documentary called Tickled, which is, I'd say, probably like one of the best original documentaries I've seen covering a subject, when I say original, in like 2 to 5 years or something. It's unbelievable.
So he sent me a message out of the blue just saying, I just saw a documentary about tickling and yeah. It was the most fantastic thing I've ever
seen. Yeah, and that's what I heard. Like, it's one of those things where, like, the more you know about going in, I fear the less you're going to enjoy the film. Like, all I knew, it was about a New Zealand journalist who's kind of, I guess, being compared to like Louis Theroux or somebody in terms of the type of journalism he does and the types of stories he covers. And one day he was online and just discovered what looked to be a professional tickling league video. So basically there's a guy between 18 to 20 tied down on a mat in like full sports gear, like a team, like as if he was representing a team, and people in other colors come on, maybe five other boys or guys tickling him. And he found that and got in touch with the people who made it. And it was someone called Jane O'Brien Media. And he's like, this is amazing. I need to do a story about this. He's like, hi, just reaching out. Would love to do a story about this. Now, this guy's quite known in New Zealand because it's like him and Peter Jackson, I think.
Sure.
Oh, and Crowded House. So like, you know, no, but he's quite well known. And I guess they just Googled his name. They'll, you know, as anyone would who's being approached.
And this is an absolute documentary. Because when you say documentary and Peter Jackson, I think too that, what was the movie? He made a mockumentary. And it was based on like finding the first ever movie ever filmed. Oh it's really that. Good. It's called like...
It's like an early one of his, isn't it?
It's not called... I want to say something like Silver Bullets or Silver something. I don't know. It's really cool. He did it for New Zealand television and then it kind of aired after that. It's pretty easy to find. It's really, really, really cool. Entertaining.
Well, no, this is legit. And they write back, and he's openly gay and lives with his partner. And they write back, we don't want faggots looking after... interviewing us, your homophobic ways are disgusting. Like this crazy like stuff you'd hear like the Westboro Baptist Church spit out. Whoa. And he's like, okay, I need to get to the bottom of this. So basically he just traces what this whole tickling comp is, and that's all I'll say. But it's like,
yeah, well, I know that I'm we're gonna do a Blank Slate Movie podcast together quite soon.
Yes.
So maybe I should make an oath to try and see that movie.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Well, it's gonna get a major release. Yes.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah. Look, we'll make some calls.
Steve.
Yeah.
Tech guru, Steve Jobs.
Oh, Steve. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Steve Jobs. No, definitely try and track that down. It's so great.
Yeah. If I can try and see it so we can talk about it.
Then. And I was there and the directors were there, the co-directors.
Oh, cool.
And they were there for the Q&A. But when they walked in, they said, and again, this isn't spoiling anything because I won't say anything more than what they said before I saw the film. But like, if you see anybody filming during this, can you please let the staff know? We've had people at Sundance and stuff, people from this organization trying to stop this film getting made and stuff.
Whoa.
So like, people have been coming from the States to try and like boycott this film.
Heck,
it's insane. I don't want to say anything else because it will take away from it how WTF it is. Okay, so that was so another one I think was super duper great. And I don't know, look, my favorite filmmaker has always been Werner Herzog. He's absolutely insane. And he's directed some of my favorite movies. Some of them docos, some of them real life. Some of them drama. top of my head, Port of Call New Orleans, Bad Lieutenant, the Nick Cage film, which I think is just a tour de force.
Sure.
Start to finish, seriously. It's a work of art. He's made some of the world's best documentaries. Into the Abyss, Grizzly Man. Like, he's amazing. His latest doco, which I've been hanging for, it's called Lo and Behold, and it's the history of the internet in 10 parts. But being Werner Herzog, it's crazy as fuck, and just interjecting breaks the cardinal law of, you know, documentary making. Like, he's interviewing a subject as a talking head and just interrupts him constantly and just starts saying weird shit. And I was like, yeah, that's Werner. And that's, you know, it's great. And it's just funny. It's laugh out loud funny because he's so insane. But I'd say those guys, those three are my big, big dick picks. I'm giving the official big dick pick stamp for Sydney Film Festival 2016.
Internet
big ass turtle and tickling.
And turtle women.
Or if you can't see the red turtle, I guess just go see Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. Which is kind of the same thing. They're big.
Dude, I just started the...
Oh, sorry. There's one more.
No, what is it?
This was amazing. Another doco, which I think both tickling... Tickled and this will get...
I was going to talk about Ninja Turtles, by the way.
Oh, sorry. Do you want to go?
No, you go.
Oh,
I'll go at the same time.
Okay.
And just...
No, besides it, I think Tickled and Lo and Behold will get a bit of a flog at the Oscars, but I also think more so is going to be Wiener. And do you remember Anthony Wiener, the politician about 4 years ago in the States that accidentally tweet-picked his dick?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So that happened in 2011. In 2013, he tried going for mayor and he allowed a film crew to film the whole thing and his wife stood by him. He's actually running Hillary's campaign now. So like, she's amazing. Everyone was like, it was very Bill and Hillary almost. Like, she stuck by him and was just like, you know, he made a mistake. This is our problem. But he's running for mayor. And he's outside. I don't know. I didn't know any of his policies, obviously. All we heard was story, US congressman or whatever, tweets photo of dick and his surname's Wiener. So he's like a joke.
Yeah.
But he's actually quite amazing. He's super liberal. He's very, he's like, imagine a Bernie Sanders, but 2/3 younger.
Yep, sure.
So he would be president probably if he was running right now. Like, he's, and people, even Republicans respected him because he's like, he yelled, like, he gets angry at Republicans. It's like, he's like very different. Like, he's very acerbic, very funny, very wry, but he knows that he's kind of a butt of a joke and he's running for mayor. And, he's like, oh, you guys can film the whole thing. And then halfway through, another girl comes out that happened during the first round, was like, oh, he sent me a pic as well, and just like destroys everything. But because he gave unprecedented access, it's the whole 8 weeks of the campaign.
Oh, man.
That happens week four. And the opening scene is just him going, he's like, yeah, let them film you. What a fucking great idea. And he's like so self-deprecating. It was like Veep, like real life Veep. It was so funny, so great. And you just go, this guy is a bit of a dick, but also he's amazing. Like, I don't know. I really walked away really liking him. He's like amazing. He'd go on to, like, you know, Larry King and stuff and just speak over him and just yell at him. And he's just like, yeah, young, non kind of, I'm trying to think of a nice way of saying it, but like not a gentle politician, which I think is kind of cool. You get a bit, you know, pushover politicians are a bit very, you know, very left, very, very PC. Like, he's anti that, but he's very left wing, all about working class, all about middle class and born, bred New York.
And dick pics.
And big dick pics. I mean, you know, dick pics, whatever. We've all seen some. We've probably even sent a few too.
We send each other dick pics every episode.
Daily. It's how I know you're alive still. Proof of life. Yeah, that's great. So I reckon that'll get, all these will probably get general release. I'd recommend all of them. Sorry, this isn't blank slate. Oh, no. Sorry, I don't know why I didn't say this. Side note, Saw Red Christmas, which Henry Stone and Alexei Toliopoulos are in, and the names are in the credits. It was a horror slasher film. Very cool. Shot in Barrel last year. They were shooting it, I think, while we were doing Hey Fam Live, and they came up for that episode. It was great. Made by Craig Anderson, Australian director. Sam Campbell's in it, who was you know, part of that gang.
Yeah, that ensemble.
Yeah, no, it was really great. It was very heartwarming to see their names in the credits.
That's sick.
Took a photo, sent it to them immediately. Like, yeah, I think they knew they worked on it.
Because they're credited, there's Best Boys, and then, what is it again? It's...
There's Best Boy and Greatest Boy, and Greatest Boy is their dog, the director's dog. So I don't know if you should read in that too much, but also Alexi was second unit director. Cool. So that was pretty cool. So
it's exciting.
Yeah. Shout outs to those boys.
Big power moves, boys.
Power moves. Yeah.
They beat us. We're not second directors of anything.
No, we only first direct things.
That's true.
So when you boys step up to the plate and start first directing stuff like my next dick pic, then we can talk Oscars.
So we're going to talk about some
on the main event.
The main event on this second best Hey Fam episode of all
time.
Yeah,
look, the problem was with E3 this year, it literally began, like, it really began. It begins before with some dumb shit, but the big kahunas came out the day we put out last week's episode. So it was kind of like, do we wait? Do we?
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know,
we've had time to reflect now.
Exactly. We think about it. And
I
don't know if anyone tunes into Hey Fam to, like, find things out.
Oh, if they want to hear us Googling finding things out?
Yeah.
Oh, then listen to this. I'm just so glad our phones don't, you know, they're touch screens. Otherwise, you'd hear all the amount of keys we're tapping throughout every episode. we've got the beer goggles off.
Guys, and what goggles are on? The VR beer goggle app.
Yeah.
He's on instead.
I mean, you know, when the iPhone came out, we all got iBeer straight away. That was the funniest thing to show your dad.
That was a sweet app.
That was a great app. What do you reckon the iBeer people are at now?
How much do you reckon the iBeer...
I think it was a free app. They made nothing. I think it was just used...
Do you reckon there was an ad in there?
It's still on the App Store.
Wow.
It's still got...
Let's try and get sponsored by the iBeer app.
Yeah, I think that if we're going to enter the whole sponsorship game, why not start with the Mercedes-Benz of, you know,
yeah, if anyone of listening iPhone right apps. Now, if anyone listening right now invented the iBeer app,
I'd imagine they also had a hand in beer pong, you know, that just that whole frat scene. Like, yeah. I think this is where it comes up. Here's my favorite review on the shop. It just says beer.
That's a review of the app?
It's just a review of the app.
How many stars?
Five.
Five stars, beer.
Yeah. So, you know, it's good to see they're still kicking.
So we were actually really, really hoping to get some iBeer updates at E3. unfortunately, their conference just wasn't aired.
Wasn't aired.
Or filmed or hosted.
Apparently, it was held in the car park 2 blocks away from E3. So, I don't know. I'm calling that just clever viral marketing.
Yeah.
It was like a pop-up shop.
Great stuff again, iBeer.
Yeah, keep it up.
So, Yeah, E3. The E3. Massive gaming conference. I think one of the first things that Angus and I bonded over a few years ago.
Video games, E3.
Yeah, but we stayed up one night to watch the Nintendo conference.
It was when they revealed the Wii U.
Yeah, and we Facebook chatted and kind of like live.
It was great fun.
Live chatted during during the reveal, made dumb jokes about Reggie's dick or something.
I mean,
very clever
you
stuff.
You know, 6 years later, we're doing the same thing. But yeah, it was the reveal for the Wii U, and we'd all heard rumors for a long time about the fabled touchscreen control pad, which would change everything, and it didn't. But no. It definitely made us look at things differently
and
for a while.
And we sure bought a Wii U.
Oh, we bought one day one. I know, you bought one day one, didn't you?
Yeah, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, sweet.
Nintendo Land Day and New Super Mario Brothers, because that's all you could get.
and as you've heard us lament in past episodes, the last few years have been a tough time for Nintendo at E3. And we went in.
If they bother going.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what they did. I think that was one of their last big ever presentations, maybe two more after that. And then they've just stopped going now, and they'll host what they call, like, E3 traditionally is like an Apple keynote, isn't it? Like,
yep.
You come out and you basically go, like, here's what you'll be buying for the next year, and everyone cheers. Nintendo actually did pretty good E3 presentations in their defense.
Yeah.
There's been some shockers with Wii Music.
The Wii Music one was real
which
bad.
Is, like, gone down as, like, the Hindenburg disaster of any E3 ever.
I remember the Vitality Sensor reveal that went down like a lead balloon as well.
Yeah, that's something you mentioned in a press release. That's
totally
not something you, like, base... Wait. You know, what was it about? You put a thing on your finger.
And then it kind of senses your heart rate, and then it can kind of scare you more in a horror game.
See, that's kind of a cool idea.
Really cool idea.
But no one picked up on it.
Then it didn't ever actually get made.
Yeah, so. And I remember they were working with hospitals at one stage to make shit like that for... Okay. I don't know. You're crazy for this one, Shiggy.
But you know what? The craziest thing that all these companies that lead the conferences at E3 never seem to realize is that nothing gets the crowd crazier and the fans happier than just showing game footage and game trailers.
Call me crazy, but...
And revealing the stuff that we're actually going to be playing over the next year or, you know, in the near future.
Yeah, call me crazy, but whatever happened to just shutting your mouth and showing some bloody new video games at a video game conference? I mean, it sounds silly to say that, but that's pretty much... They've been the opposite of that for years. They'll have, like, here's Will.i.am coming out to talk about Battlefield. You know what I mean? It's just, like,
doesn't
whack stuff
sense.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah. And so, Microsoft's always been... very much like, you know, let's get celebrities to come and play our games, or let's get celebrities to come and dance on stage in a presentation about one of our games.
Just cool stuff like that.
They had Jason Derulo, like, do Just Dance or one of the singing games a couple of years ago.
Oof.
Like, you know, just real reasons that I play video games.
Yeah.
You know, that's the first kind of the three big game companies. They're the first presentation to
do. They'll first cab off the rank, and they're always out of... Surprisingly, Sony was a pretty good time for us. So that was during daytime here, like midday
it was
or
like,
something.
Yeah, 11 till 12. Yeah, like
so the big three were like Xbox, Sony, and what Nintendo were going to do, which wasn't ever going to be too much.
Yeah, and then of course you've got EA, Ubisoft, and Bethesda.
Yeah,
those are three companies that
they're pretty much your biggest third-party companies.
But you and I don't really dabble in any of their.
I mean, I hated Fallout 4, and either people rally behind me and agree, or people say it wasn't that bad.
That like, game's just not for me.
I really wanted to like it because I heard how much people liked the other Fallouts, and it did nothing for me. It was just, and I've never been a Skyrim player. I mean, Bethesda's known, and this is what I don't like. They're known to just put out games that are buggy and fix them up later, and I'm not a big fan of that. I'm into, like, putting out the best product possible. I don't know.
Sure.
For all the product that I put out. But you know what I mean? I just think, you know.
Like that amazing episode we did last week.
Exactly.
And this very episode you're listening to right now.
Yeah. It's, EA was the other big one, and that was basically Battlefield 1.
And then the campaign FIFA or whatever it is.
That's right.
Which is, you know, again, another game that's not for us. I appreciate how
big it
incredible
is.
It looks and that people love it. But that's, I don't give one fuck.
Ubisoft was just probably, hey, here's an Assassin's Creed.
No, it wasn't actually. It was lots of shooters.
Okay.
And again, I mean, Ubisoft occasionally do stuff that I'm really into, but they're on a bit of a run.
They're more missed than
making
hit.
Games that I don't give a fuck about.
Yeah, they're more missed than hit to me. It's amazing that they're still so big.
Yeah, I mean, they're franchise makers, you know.
Far Cry, if they do a Rayman ever again.
Man, that's how you get me back on the Ubisoft train. Do another Rayman.
Yeah.
Except I actually quite like the Rayman Apple TV app.
It's awesome.
I love it. It's actually like a fully playable game.
It looks amazing. It looks as good as a current gen game. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sick. Well, so
shout outs to the
Ubisoft. Just do a Rayman conference next time.
Just do an Apple.
No
TV
one else
game
will call. Care about it, but me and Angus will be all about.
Yeah,
that.
No, Rayman's great.
So the Microsoft thing, you know,
full disclaimer here.
Yep,
Levins and I don't have any Microsoft products. No, so we didn't pay too much attention to it.
But I'm always keen. Like, I mean, I'm very jealous that quite soon Microsoft, the Xbox owners get to play Cuphead.
Which yeah, is a, that game looks incredible.
Totally crazy. Like,
it's an Xbox Live arcade.
But like a platformer using like...
It looks like Steamboat Willie, the game.
Exactly.
Or like Melody, what was the Disney Melody something, you know the show?
Merry Melodies.
It looks like something out of Merry Melodies, like 40s animation.
And you're a little dude with who's like literally a cup, a big cup head, or you can play as Mughead, a two-player game, and you just like fight these fantastic animated creations.
Yeah.
You know, shooting like just endless stream of bullets, things flying at you. It's brutal. I played it.
The music sounds
amazing.
I played
it at PAX in Melbourne last year, and it was
It doesn't look amazing. Like a game at all. It looks like actual cel-shaded animation. Like,
but just
it looks
a
amazing.
Complete anarchy on screen. And so I'm really jealous about them getting that. Hopefully, we'll get it at some point.
Do like you see that happening?
Limbo. I don't know. Well, Limbo was an Xbox exclusive for a year. And then,
yeah, sure.
Then it was a PlayStation Plus free game, so that was sick. I can wait if it's free. But yeah, like I am always, you know, and again, you know, Rare are making games for Microsoft, so I'm always keen to see there. I mean, Rare got Xbox got the exclusivity on that Tomb Raider game, which everyone raves about.
Yeah, everyone says it's amazing. Sea of Thieves was the Rare game, which whatever Rare means now. I mean, it's not the same team that made Donkey Kong Country, GoldenEye, etc. But it's still Rare. I mean, that big R used to be very, you know, mean a lot of quality. Mm-hmm. Looks like you've got to go other places now. Ukulele, for example. And my friend, my co-host Banjo, which they fucked up and made him really square or something for that stupid Nuts and Bolts reboot or whatever.
We don't need to get into that right now.
Just deplorable behavior, actually.
But yeah, so we can talk about that. What's the Rare game called? The
Pirate Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves. It kind of looks like the best. It looks like Monkey Island meets Destiny.
If Monkey Island was 3D and boring.
Yeah, it's seriously that.
look, the gameplay stuff.
It's all online. That's the big push, though. It's everything's online. You have a crew of people and you go around and it's like Sid Meier's Pirates meets Destiny or something.
Yeah, see, I'm just yet to give a fuck about games like that. Like, I played 30 seconds of Overwatch and watched you play for 15 minutes and I could appreciate that is a game for an audience and it definitely looks more fun than your average kind of shooter to me. But I don't know, I like stories in games, but... I mean, that said, I also used to play like Scorched Earth and shit. And
which one's Scorched Earth?
Scorched Earth is like this fucking awesome old PC game where you just it's like battle tank, battle ship.
Yeah,
or
the two tanks, right? You just try and blast each other. With
yeah,
the
but
thing.
You got like all kinds of crazy ammo.
Was it like first person and you're in the tank?
No, it's like you see both tanks on the screen and
yeah, I remember that one. I had a first-person view one on my old Mac Performer from 1997. It's called like Dome Wars or something like that. It was great.
You had like ammo called like a funky bomb and it would like kind of explode and all you do. Yeah, real good fun. Great stuff. So no, I mean, look, I totally appreciate
like Worms.
That not all games. Yeah, Worms is a great example. Exactly, it's exactly like Worms.
It's exactly like Worms.
But Worms is a great example of a game that doesn't have a story but is addictive. And you know, I, for the time of my life, I thought it was the best thing ever. So. I'm yet to be hooked by a fully online game in this generation of games.
The Sea of Thieves to me, look, it didn't look like what I loved about Rare Mark 1 or Mark 2 or whatever. You know, that era, that Rare. When you hear that noise, you know which era. It looks like new Rare. Hopefully, it's a step in the right direction. It doesn't look like a silly Kinect sports affair, which I know, you know, isn't what Rare is about. They're much better than that.
And they're quite frequently kind of saying that this isn't Kinect. Fuck Kinect.
Well, what was amazing is Microsoft unveiled a new Xbox called the Xbox One S, which is a lot slimmer, etc. But no Kinect stuff. Like
they've Kinect, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of all... They're basically not mentioning the word Kinect.
Yeah.
You know, Kinect kind of is the reason. That's why they also announced Project Scorpio, the new... console.
Most powerful console of all time.
Yeah, and it sounds... I was reading a few interviews with game developers and they were kind of saying they found the Xbox One made a few compromises when it tried to be the home entertainment system, not just a gaming device, including power and stuff like that, which was sacrificed for Kinect and things. So, I don't know. It's interesting. It raises the point, though, that the console they want out next year, they're going to be putting out... Are they going to be running two consoles at once? Someone said, is it going to be the Mega Drive and Mega CD fiasco all over again, which caused everyone headaches at Sega? I don't know. But interesting that they're unveiling, not mentioning Kinect. Like,
and obviously,
PlayStation
are doing that. They're what is it, Neo, as well, which is possibly something similar to that too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, Microsoft, their conference was very much hardware focused. Between the new Slim model and then the next thing's called, which is, what's it called? Scorpio?
Project Scorpio.
Project Scorpio. And, yeah. And then also the news that if you buy a certain Microsoft games, you can immediately play them on PC as well as your Xbox. Again, just stuff that appeals to someone that isn't us.
Yeah. I'm sure someone's very happy with that.
And, you know, and then also, like, they spent a lot of time talking about, like, chat rooms and shit like
sure.
that. Yeah. I mean, like, so yeah, skimming through articles about that conference, there wasn't really anything that jumped out at us. A Dead Rising sequel.
Yeah, they've got an exclusive. That game was always fun.
That's kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, I was like, okay, cool.
I mean, it's hard to own, you know, we don't get any of our stuff for free.
No, but like...
So it's hard to own three consoles and talk about
it. I don't know any legend that has all three consoles.
No, it's a thing. That's why I think we were saying like recently, I don't know whether on the show or off the show. I mean, I think it was off the show, but we're like... Nintendo hasn't been that choice for a long time, which is interesting. It's always you get an Xbox or a PlayStation.
And then if
you want to get the Nintendo experience, because they don't do third-party games on other consoles, you've got to get the... It's been a long time since Nintendo was a choice. And I'm just really hoping the NX is back up there.
Definitely.
But we'll get onto that later. So it was Xbox. It was great.
So
if you're into Xbox.
As we said earlier, Sony, their conference, I mean, Xbox aired like quite late at night. So it was like, yeah, you just kind of wake up in the morning. And
we actually had a fellow guest who was there watching it, who left a nice live vlog for us. Yeah, JV.
John Valenzuela, who was
16
on
Tacos.
Best TV of last year episode.
Yeah.
He kind of gave like a live comments in a group that we're in. And we kind of woke up to his
take on the conference. It was like 60 posts. It was great.
Yeah, it was really, really interesting.
Shout outs
really
for that exclusive look.
Yeah, the Sony conference aired, and I don't know if it was purposeful that they've got. It was kind of like the peak time for, because it was like not too late in the UK.
You know why I think it was? Because it's a Japanese company, and it was perfect time in Japan for coverage.
Yeah, right.
Okay. That's my theory.
Right. So yeah, it was.
That's probably wrong.
It was like 10 or 11 a.m. our time, so we were able to watch it.
Japan, 10 a.m. here or something.
Yeah, and we were able to watch it and kind of discuss what was happening as it was happening, and I just think Sony just fucking kicked a million goals with that conference.
They just did games.
Just games. Not one mention of any hardware.
No Vita. No this. Nothing. No like. And oh, we're doing this
even
later.
Even their VR discussion was just all games focused.
Yeah.
So
they kicked off with God of War.
Which
looks like a reboot. They're just calling it God of War by the looks of it. There's no subtitle, no numeral. It must be just like, it's a fresh start. I know you've played the other ones.
Yeah, I've played
especially
the most recent, the God of War 3.
It's mythology, right?
Yeah, and it's really, really like, it's a very aggressive, aggressive. No, I mean, like the combat part, that's the best thing. The gameplay is like flawless. It's so much fun. You keep leveling up all these different abilities that you're able to do with your different chains and weapons and powers and all that kind of thing and bow and arrow, like you just have like this endless arsenal of cool things that you can access, and you just keep leveling up as you kill different gods. You get their powers and
amazing.
It's really great. It is like, it's such a hilariously macho game. You're just like this, like
Kratos, is that your name?
Yeah, Kratos, and he's just like bah! Like just yelling, covered in blood.
That's what I've seen. And climbing big.
Punching women in the face.
And beating the shit out of gods and stuff.
It's such a dude game. And it's like extremely fun. But it is like, they definitely needed to... You can't really make a game like that in 2016. Like, even though it's...
You can't.
Hasn't been that long since God of War 3 came out. Like, just the political climate and people are more aware of gender politics, especially with big companies. You just can't be like so aggressively macho. Like there is a moment in the
since day one. It's just the general public didn't want to accept that, but now we know that female gamers, I think it's 51% of gamers or something, it's like more female gamers, and it's like finally we're
just
finally
people are more fucking woke, bruh.
Well, we stay woke as fuck on this podcast. That was the original working title of Hey Fam.
Stay
it
woke.
Was Hey Fam .. Stay woke. It's lit. It was very long. We had to keep dropping titles.
We consulted with Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs was like, bros, this is great. Do you want that award at the end of the year? You got to drop at least four of those words. We heard you, Stevie. Shout outs to Steve Jobs.
Our best mate.
Still the best dude at doing keynotes, let's be honest. He smoked these dudes.
There's a moment in God of War 3 where you actually have to like sacrifice a woman to progress.
Jesus.
It's pretty grisly. And like, then there's
not crazy.
There's also like a mini, like a, part of a level is where you have sex with Aphrodite and you have to like press you know, triangle.
Press X circle, to become.
Blah, blah. And then she's like, crater.
Are you kidding me?
No, seriously, there's a bit in it.
Was that like the hot coffee version of God of War?
Yeah, I don't, it's kind of like.
Press X to do big cummies in a god.
It's a little bit tongue in cheek, but yeah, like it is still like, come on, it's fucking, you know, who sure. is this game for?
So look, I didn't know a lot about it. I remember I worked in a video store when I think the original PlayStation 2 ones were coming out when I was a teen. Mm-hmm. And I remember the type of people that got them. And I just didn't look like a game that I would have loved. I mean, at the time, I was probably getting woke on Zeldas and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. Ico and Shadow of, you know, those games. Not that I'm saying there's anything better or not, but I did kind of, I guess, write it off as some kind of new.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, there's big, the big AAA games besides like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Which in my opinion, are as bad as the worst thing that God of War offers.
Sure.
You know, whatever. They
but it's more of, satirical.
That's right.
Satirical, because it's not Los Angeles. It's
but yeah, so Los Santos. I mean, whatever God of War was, it's still a very beloved franchise, and for them to redo it from the ground up, and kind of restart this using Norse mythology, but look, it still has.
That's what I would say. The opening shot we saw, like immediately, I was reminded, and it's probably quite purposeful, of a game that had the nuance of The Last of Us. It looked nothing like what I thought God of War was, and that's what I just wanted to say from the get go.
Yeah,
and it was amazing.
And it's, look, we still spent the gameplay demo following a big shirtless God of War around, but he had
It's called God of War. It's not called, like little dude of war.
Well, like, yeah.
Like, he's a god, right?
Man.
Essentially. So, is he being reincarnated? Is that the story we're thinking?
I don't know. I'm excited to play it. Because, like, yeah, the story is extremely stupid, but it's pretty entertaining in the old games.
So, it's all Norse. It looks like Vikings.
There are still, like... there's still Spartan, like Spartan rage, and so I don't know how they're gonna explain that. But the coolest thing is that he's clearly training up his son to be
another
like, as good as him, and kind of teaching him how to hunt.
It looks beautiful. It's this huge snowscape. You're in a forest. It actually reminded me a lot of that Ellie level in Last of Us, where you're hunting deer and stuff. You know, for Joel. And I think that's why it reminded me of that a lot. And perhaps it was purposeful, because that's such an acclaimed game. But it looked very quiet to what I thought it was. It looked great. And then you start fighting some monsters and throwing your axe. You kind of got the Thor thing, and you like hold your hand up and your axe comes back to you and stuff, which was sick. I really like that.
Yeah. This was just a really, really
It looked stunning too. It's probably, it was on par with like Uncharted 4.
Definitely.
Graphical, you know, and graphics aren't everything, but I think that they do add to it. Like, you know, gameplay is key. Graphics still add a lot, I think.
Yeah. And then, immediately a very strong start. A game that, you know, I thought might show up, but was extremely happy to see.
And it's a Sony-only series, so it was like, it's like a flagship for them. It's like, you know, this is what we're cooking with. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
I was on board. I was like never interested in a God of War game. That looked really fun.
Yeah, definitely. And then so from there, you go straight to a game that seemed to be... I thought it was actually going to be The Last of Us 2.
Oh, yeah.
Days Gone.
Which is another Sony, an SCEE game, internally developed.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention to all the logos at the start. That definitely wasn't a Naughty Dog one.
It looks like Sons of Anarchy meets Last of Us, essentially. You're a biker with... Yet another... Look, I'm a bit... I've said it before on this podcast. I'm sick to death of zombies. It's why I don't watch Walking Dead. It's why I'm just... I get it. The allegory is great. It's the fear. It's the eternal fear. If it's AIDS, if it's this, if it's... You know what I mean? It's always there. But it looks okay. It didn't look great.
The more I saw this game, I was like, oh, this would be pretty fun, I guess. Like,
I need to see more.
The gameplay element of it looks great. The story just looked boring as hell.
I need to see more. It looks very... Like a lot of things I've played before. It looked very...
I don't know if I've ever seen a zombie onslaught of this
level. It did look a bit like World War Z, where there's like a mountain of people. Like that, like I did. Like I was very impressed with how many zombies. You know what? When you say that, that does make me think it is a bit different to what we've seen, which is normally staggering.
Yeah,
you know,
quick
playing for spooks, like Last of Us or Res Evil.
Hammer that motherfucking R2 button.
It was like hordes of people, and you've got like an endless rail gun. Yeah. You know, and it did look more fun. And I want to see more. I mean, I guess we just saw the same setting, just woods and zombies. And I was like, all right, it looks fine. Kind of a corny ass trailer.
Totally.
Like, I ride my bike. Yeah. I love my family, and I fight zombies. Yeah. It was just kind of like, all right.
Everybody might be dead, but when I ride my bike,
it looks like
I feel alive.
You know what? I thought it was like going to be like the South Park game or something. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I wish I did watch the Ubisoft.
That's true. That's a game that we the fractured butthole.
Yeah, fractured butthole, which is.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Supposed to be... Everyone's saying looks amazing.
Yeah, and way more appealing to me that it's all superheroes.
It looks amazing. I mean, Stick of Truth was still in my top three games of 2014. It's an incredible game. Yeah. So good. Did you play it?
No, but if you pre-order the new one, Fractured Butthole, you get that game for free.
Oh.
Yeah, like immediately.
Like a new version of it.
Yeah, for PS4 or Xbox.
Oh, because it was only PS3. That's amazing.
Yeah. Pretty exciting.
Cool.
I might test that theory out.
Yeah. Let me know how it goes. I think I'll do the same because it's one of the only reasons why I've still got my PS3 because you can't do backwards compatibility and I love that game.
I think we then move on to a game called Horizon New Dawn.
Let's see how correct you are. Yeah, Horizon Zero Dawn. So Zero close. Dawn. You're thinking of...
What's New Dawn?
I don't know.
Golden Sun?
Yeah, this is one they teased, I think, last year's E3? Or at least... I saw it
at Paris Games Week.
That's when we saw
in
it.
Paris.
Yeah, it's kind of this hot redhead girl.
And she's...
from the Mavises.
And...
is that a throwback?
There's like robot dinosaurs and you got to kill them, but you can also hack into these beasts.
Yeah, that's the fun part.
Yeah.
It looks like... the best parts of what was promised in Watch Dogs, except with amazing third-person shooter fun.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like post-apocalyptic, we believe. It looks like these animals are half animals, half robots.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks fine. You can reprogram them to turn them on your side.
Oh, that was really, really great.
Yeah. And it was good gameplay footage too. Like, they showed you heaps of stuff. Like, that's... when I say the new day, it was strange. What was that? The zombie one? Zero Day, New Day.
Whatever. Day's Gone.
Day's Gone. The Horizon game, Horizon Zero Dawn, looked a lot more fun because I think it just showed you more of things that you could do.
Yeah, definitely.
So I was so into that.
I love a gameplay demo that ends with a boss level.
Oh, you've got to do it.
You fight like a really powerful kind of weird robot dinosaur in this, and you can't just destroy it because you want to keep its parts
or something so you can upgrade yourself.
So you kind of...
it was a female protagonist. Very cool.
Yeah, really awesome. Yeah. And
it's not just Lara Croft now, guys.
And you don't just shoot. You also kind of fire ropes that secure the beast to the ground. And
that's
then
right.
Kind of attack it once it's fastened to the ground. I haven't seen that done before.
That was very cool. It was a kind vibe, wasn't it?
So that's like, yeah, I mean, like the Days Gone, I was like, I probably will still play that maybe. But God of War and Horizon are the two that I
was on for both. I was very much impressed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did they get into the VR at that stage, I think?
I think so, yeah.
So there was a PlayStation VR mentioned. That's the headset that we got to play around with back in last year at the EB Games Expo.
I've played about four or five VR games, and nothing has completely hooked me, but it is extremely cool technology. And it, from a price point level, it isn't that much.
Like, yeah, I think I'm going to get it.
Yeah, I think we should. I think that would be really, really sick.
I think we need it.
Recall, yeah.
I've told you my fear.
I think my family needs VR.
Well, you know, my Nemo cat and I need this. It's probably how I'm going to lose her, and I have to go find her.
Lose her in the Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, it started very strong. We didn't know what it was. It looked kind of, it reminded us a bit of PT, the Hideo Kojima, yeah, Guillermo del Toro.
They were like, you know, VR's a thing coming out. Here are several games that utilize VR.
Yeah, it was a first-person horror game. No one knew it was coming. And then it was Resident Evil 7.
It
looked amazing. And apparently it's going back to basics, making it very heavily influenced from the first title. Famously called Biohazard in Japan. And it looks like this one's called Resident Evil 7 Biohazard, which is pretty cool. It's a nice little throwback.
So I played a VR game when I was in Paris.
Yeah.
That was the Until Dawn roller coaster. It's like a haunted roller coaster game. And
It
was not fantastic, but it was fucking terrifying because something can scare you from behind, depending on where your head is turned in VR headset. And it just, like, I was on edge knowing that something was going to jump out at me. And the amount that a game like fucking Biohazard,
Resident Evil.
Amount that Resident, a game like that could scare you is actually terrifying.
Like, yeah.
I know that's the point, but I don't know if I could do it, man. I'd be so jumpy. I definitely couldn't play it if someone else was in the house with me, because like you would just be me wearing a VR headset swearing every 10 seconds as loudly as possible.
Yeah, I'm just afraid of
knocking shit over.
Terrible, I'm going to look playing it.
Yeah.
Like I told you a horror story just earlier, mate. There was, Björk recently, as part of Vivid in Sydney, did a VR show, which I thought it was great. It was free and you had to put your name down to go, but it was three separate music videos with headsets, VR, like Oculus Rifts and stuff. And the last one was one where you actually got to walk around. The other ones you kind of had to be seated and you swivel around. And my friend went, and there's this huge Björk in front of you, digital, like, crazy shit. And she gets bigger and bigger, and you're encouraged to walk around and touch it. And my friend touched an older woman's next to him, and his words, saggy boob. And immediately freaked. He's like, shit, this is real. It's amazing that it's tricking my brain into thinking I'm touching. Oh, no, it's actually a woman's tit. And then removed the headset and just left the exhibition completely in a panic, I believe.
Well, and later found out that that's exactly what Björk intended. So.
Yeah, it was Björk. She pulled the mask off. She's like, it was me all along. Congratulations. You've just done art.
I'm going back to the mountain.
You've done art. We saw some amazing games. We saw that there's a new... I mean, what's funny, none of these were being called fully-fledged games. They were being called experiences. VR and that's experiences. Something I noticed. There was an X-Wing experience made as part of Battlefront. Which looked hella fun. It just looked like the scene from, you know, A New Hope, as everyone's getting ready to blow up the Death Star and jumping to light speed and shit. And I was extremely happy with that. I've kind of want that. That to me sold me VR instantly.
Yeah.
Rocksteady's doing a new Batman game.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. It's called, what is it? Just like Batman Arkham Experience.
Arkham VR or something.
Arkham VR. And from what I hear, it starts with you as Bruce Wayne and Batman discovering a dead Nightwing, and having to solve the mystery of the murder in about an hour.
Yeah, that's great. It's exactly what it should be. VR games shouldn't be these like long immersive.
Yeah, no, I'm really curious to see what their price points will be, or if they're going to be digital only, or I doubt they will, because they'll take up a lot of space. We saw Final Fantasy 15 getting some crazy first-person VR experience.
So super creepy.
Which is insane for a RPG.
Super pervy VR.
I can't wait. Oh, yeah, that's right. It ended, of course. Yeah, it was gratuitous and Japanese. And obviously, there was a girl in a bikini talking to you at the end of the game demo.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
What else? But yeah, there? I mean, the Star Wars reveal was such an incredible...
Star Wars reveal was great.
Incredible moment. Like, I mean, I guess we kind of knew that it was said a long time ago that they were going to do a battle.
Some VR stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Battlefront VR stuff. But I mean, this was just... Yes!
X-Wing has always been one of... X-Wing and TIE Fighter. Actually, I think TIE Fighter more so has been one of the most beloved Star Wars games back from the LucasArts games in terms of first-person, you know, flying shooters, which are quite rare these days. I mean, besides, like, Flight Simulator. I'm going to say, yeah, like, take a shot every time I say rare, and then they take another shot when Levins does a banjo voice. And you're going to be way drunker than last week's episode. It's cool to see another flying Star Wars game that isn't like a Rogue Squadron or something, which was always quite land-based, like in space. That's what I'm excited about. Space doggy style fighting. What else was VR?
I think that was kind of it. After that, it kind of started blurring into was this VR, was this not? I actually got tricked into wanting to play a Call of Duty game.
Oh, that's right, because there was a grappling hook.
Yeah, so they showed an extended look at this
Space Commando
Call of Duty game, but they didn't actually say it was Call of Duty from the get-go, and I was like, what is this? I thought it was a VR game to begin
with. Was that on purpose, do you think? That they kept Call of Duty off for so long? Yeah, maybe if you're a fan of the franchise, you were like, oh, this is Call of Duty.
So, I mean, if you've been following it, like, Call of Duty announced this new game with a pretty shitty trailer featuring a crappy, you know, hard rock version of David Bowie's Heroes, programmed a little too closely to David Bowie's death to kind of, you know, profit off that. But it's like one of the least liked game trailers ever put on YouTube.
Yes.
And then it got completely stomped by the Battlefield trailer.
Battlefield 1, which looks like people don't know. I don't know if it's been confirmed, but at the time people weren't sure if it was World War One or an alternate World War One.
Right.
Based on maybe they have different tech in it. But it does look fun. I think, like, you know, we've had so many World War II games and so many, you know, Desert Storm.
I probably won't play either, but I got quite...
You're interested in this one. You were like losing
the amount of crazy shit you can do in the space setting. Like,
it's space, baby.
Like smashing a window out and having everyone like fall out of the airlock. And
you know one thing you can't do? Scream.
Fuck. Damn it. It's my favorite thing to do while playing video games.
Well.
But you got a grappling hook, which is really cool. You can grapple other dudes.
I guess you need
you
that as like, a kind of tool, you know, to get yourself around in zero gravity. That was kind of cool.
That looks so much fun. And I never thought I would say that about a Call of Duty game.
Well, you know, this is a year of firsts.
It is.
After that,
we got to the good stuff, baby.
Well, we found out Crash back, baby.
And we've been saying we really want Crash Bandicoot back.
I think in our last episode, he's definitely one of the last few when we've been speaking about Uncharted and stuff.
Yeah, he's definitely going to make a
return.
Like,
we need Crash back.
So he's going to be in the Skylanders game, which who gives a fuck about that?
But, yeah. Listen up, you six-year-old listening to this. Go away. We don't care.
Listen up, you alternate universe Levinses who definitely got Skylanders.
Yeah, there's an evil Levins out there who's playing Skylanders instead of playing Lego Dimensions.
we also learned that they're remastering the first three Crash Bandicoot games.
Activision's taking care now by the looks of it, they said.
Yeah, whether or not that means that they're going to just re-release, you know, those original games with better graphics, or they're going to do them from the ground up like the Ratchet and Clank game.
I'm into that.
Sincerely hope it's the latter.
Let's hope it's that. Let's hope there's been a bar set, because that game's gotten nothing but universal praise as like a return to platforming glory, and they need to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, these games are four generations old. They need to upscale that shit. Like, they need to make it look good. It's not going to cut it. I mean, we played it, you know, why get it if you can just play that level on Uncharted 4?
Which I sucked hairy balls at.
Yeah, both two people I know that played it haven't got past it. I completed it. Everyone was like, oh, it's so hard. And I was like, really? I got through it.
I just kept getting stuck in the same bit and then, yeah.
Guess I'm just a Crash addict. I didn't even own a PlayStation 1. I don't know why I was so good at it.
Whoa!
Yeah, he looks like he's got rabies. He's a bit too wacky. Like,
and when you got the mask, the other like,
yeah, very, very, you know, racially.
Tribal.
Yeah.
What's more offensive,
the Crash mask, if I wear that to Splendor, or an Indian headdress?
But Crash wasn't even in the PlayStation All-Stars game, was he?
Yeah, I think it was Mummy and Daddy were fighting at the time and no one knew who owned him, because owned by Universal for a while.
Right. What were they going to do with it?
Remember Universal made games for a bit?
Yeah, right.
For a hot minute, they made that GameCube where you run Universal Studios.
So there are Crash Bandicoots on the Game Boy Advance and GameCube. Nintendo DS and the GameCube too.
Yeah,
really.
GameCube. I think we even got one.
What were PlayStation thinking?
Yeah, they really... I'm sure that's their version of letting go of Rare, you know?
But they got him back now.
They got him back then. The most amazing... This is when... If I thought I'd been doing all the cummies so far, it was nothing for the amount of cummies that were coming next when Big Dog Kojima came out. Pachinko machines hate him. Mr. responsible for a bulk of my behavior in the year 2015.
The patron saint of HeyFam.
The patron saint of my life and my very being, and the thing that got me
bought a Metal Gear.
I bought a Venom Snake figure made by Nendoroid, the Japanese brand they do a great Wind Waker Link. Comes with a set, like, it's quite cutesy, but it's amazing, fam. It comes with three different robot arms. It comes with a cigar. It comes with his iDroid.
It comes with
a motherfucking Fulton that you can just put on anything that has a hole on it and Fulton that shit away. It comes with a cardboard sneaking box. It's legit the best.
Oh, it comes with a cardboard box?
Yeah, it's amazing. That's so sick. Yeah, it's the best. I'll have to show you the rest of it, but it's lit as hell. But then Hideo came out for the, you know, he's returned. He was kind of Steve Jobs in a way. You know, he was let go from his own from a company which he basically kept afloat, and the only reason why it had any sort of critical acclaim for the last 15 years. And he started his own company called, well, you know, Kojima Productions. Doi used that name and showed his new game, and it's called Death Stranding. It's a known phenomenon for when whales beach themselves or find themselves there. And hey, don't worry, there were some beach whales in this video. And it was Norman Reedus, made famous for Walking Dead TV series. All motion capture, like, looks freakishly like bang on.
Yeah, people cheered when they saw it because they knew that that's who it was.
Exactly. Again, it just shows, you know, Kojima's amazing fixation with the West and pop culture, which, you know, he played a pop song during it and had the credits on there of the singer-songwriter as if you were watching Rage, which was great. And the trailer was just, what, a bunch of dead animals and a naked guy waking up with a C-section scar and a child next to him, which then turned into, like, black goo. And then just bunches of dead animals on a beach and some floating figures in the sky. And, you know, that was it. Yeah. Everyone went wild. Everyone was like, shut up and take every bit of money I have.
No idea what this game is going to be about. Or what the gameplay is going to be like.
It's Hideo Kojima, baby. That's all we know.
And he should just be allowed to should be given great sums of money and just be allowed to tell the dumbest, weirdest now stories.
Get this. He's 50-something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks incredible.
Yeah.
He looks amazing.
But that's not even that old, really. I actually thought he'd be way older than
that. I was reading his biography. No, who was it? I think it was Polygon. They did a whole podcast on the history of Kojima. And I think he started at Konami when he was 19, 20 as an intern and just stayed there for like almost 30 years, which is unheard of. And just started.
What do they give him in return? Those pachinko machine fucks.
Pachinko machine fucks. Fuck them. But yeah, they must be kicking themselves because this was just, even though no one knows what it is and it's just a cinematic, everyone's so on board.
And when he came out.
Oh, it was so cute.
With the Fury Road music in the background and like the amazing kind of floor effects as he walked out.
It was incredible.
I'm back.
Oh. And then then hugest surprise of the Sony presentation.
This is my greatest moment of the presentation.
I think we all lost it at this point.
I knew it was happening at some point, but I didn't think we were going to get the reveal. And
did you know it was happening?
Trailer. I knew that there was rumors that Sony had the Spider-Man license back.
I mean, shit, the font for the PlayStation 3 was only the Spider-Man font, which is still such a strange thing.
That's true.
Well, we just spoiled what it was. But
yeah,
okay.
Of course, we'll talk about that PlayStation are making a Spider-Man game.
Insomniac,
who did Ratchet & Clank. I actually thought it was going to be the Sucker Punch team who did Infamous. Yeah,
Infamous
yeah.
1 and 2, Wait. Something Son. Is that Sucker Punch?
Is it? Yes, Infamous. I was getting confused with Injustice. Infamous, yeah.
That bitch. Sucker Punch. Infamous. God damn.
Eggs or nothing, buddy.
Eggs or nothing, yeah, sorry. That was amazing. And as I've said several times whenever we mention Marvel on this show, Spidey's my go-to superhero.
He's a guy.
And this looks like the Spider-Man game that we were loved from Spider-Man 2.
This comes out at the same time as the movie. That is the fucking most baller move.
Is it really?
Imagine if it comes out at the same time.
Oh, if it does.
Imagine, like, yeah.
I reckon it's going to come sooner.
Wow, so cool. It looked like it was like pretty far along.
Yeah,
this
has got nothing to do with the MCU, which is great.
Yep, I think
standalone. So I think, you know, allegorically speaking, it looks like Sony could have themselves an Arkham series, like one that's not tied to the movie universe,
but one that's actually fun.
So you know, they're so fun.
I love the first one, and then I kind of I get lost a bit in the next one.
Oh, you need me to hold your hand during these big
new
games?
No, not lost. I hate. Like you said, it's that Monster Energy Batman version.
Well, the good thing is Spider-Man is in a ripped, like, six-pack motherfucker.
And it's fucking daylight. And it's, you know, in a big city and it's open spaces.
I think that was the first observation we made. We're like, it's like Arkham, except in daylight. Like, yeah, it's Spider-Man. He swings throughout the day saving people. Like, it looks great.
And I just hope that they just have, like, every... I want to battle the Vulture.
Yeah.
In the air.
It looks like Mr. Negative people when I was screenshotting all the people who are shooting at
cars. Yeah, I think it looks like Mr. Negative.
And they've
kind
of got the masks and stuff and the suits. Yeah. So I'm thinking, oh, sick, we're going to get some characters we've never seen in video games.
I want fucking Tombstone in this.
Oh, I want Kraven hunting you throughout the whole game.
Dude, how good would that be?
Like, as a side mission, hey, he's always after you, like, during different parts. That would be sick.
Man, I just bought the Spider-Man Lego set with Kraven the Hunter in it.
So good.
It's like the bridge
set.
The bridge.
Yeah, that's,
I haven't got it yet.
That's some glory set. Who else? It's Green Goblin, Spider-Woman, Scarlet Spider, Spider-Man,
Kraven the Hunter, and Scorpion.
Scorpion, that's right.
And Aunt May.
Oh, Never forget.
So good. And Spider-Man 2 on the PlayStation 2 is one of my favorite games of all time.
And that was on the Tony Hawk 3 engine, I think. It was built on the Tony Hawk engine. That's why the swinging was so great. And it was like sandboxy and you could go anywhere and pick what things you wanted to do, right?
And it really felt like you're in New York. Like I've been to New York and been like, oh, this is like it, you know, that part of the Spider-Man game.
Yeah, no, totally.
And there was nothing more fun than going to like the tallest building and then just jumping off the top and then flying all the way almost to the bottom,
it was so much fun. If they happen to an ounce of that type of fun from that game, oof.
But I think the trailer looks as fun as that. There's a great bit where you're, you know, like obviously there's heaps of you like slinging webs around town, around the city.
There's an interior bit of you.
I guess maybe even at the Daily Bugle or something like that, and you're kind of like, you know, jumping around a big crowd, a group of people inside, and you smash out through the window. So cool. Very, very excited.
Yeah, it looks amazing. And it looks like it handles a hell of a lot of people on screen at once. Like, you know, Spider-Man 2 was great, but, you know, limitations at the time was a very, very, very sparse New York. Yeah. Very sparse New York. So
I 100%ed that Spider-Man 2 game.
That's huge.
Like, you know, I did every single mission. And yeah, I loved that game. In a similar way that I feel like the Infamous games are like spiritual successors to that
Spider-Man
2. I can't wait for an actual Spider-Man game that builds on everything they did with that game.
Yeah, that'd be incredible. That was a huge thing. That, like, who would have thought we'd be living in a world where we're saying Spider-Man looked like one of the best games at E3? But here we are.
Was that the last kind of big reveal that kind of ended then?
Yeah, for me, it ended then. Yeah, it ended that.
So look, I mean, it was just like this thumping hour and
it was just games,
20 minutes or so of just games, and pretty much all but, you know, one or two of them I want to play.
Yeah, it was just rare to see.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. It was just rare in this day and age to see a presentation at E3 solely about games.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was awesome.
And it's like, I hope everyone learns from this now.
Yeah,
and goes, oh, cool. Let's just all do that now.
Yeah, like it's nice to. If you've got just a console coming out in six months, mention the console one. But, you know, there was no hints towards the future. It was just like, you know what? We're at the peak of this generation right now. Here's some fucking games.
All my favorite older E3 moments are just like when Nintendo revealed Mario Galaxy 2. They did so with like, you know, a handful of... It was the same year that they announced like NBA Jam and all these things that, you know, at the time was just like, whoa, oh my God, yeah, I can't believe it. GoldenEye, I think.
They did the new GoldenEye. There was a Yoshi game, I think.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of shit.
Really great stuff.
Good boys.
Good boys. Sony hit it out of the park. And Nintendo, again, was one of those late night in Australia ones.
A little bit trepidatious going in.
I was like, I'm not staying up for this.
Yeah, we were kind of like, you know what? You've let us down in the past.
I woke up at 4 a.m. because that's what you do sometimes when you're a dad. And instead of going back to sleep, I was like, I might just see what happened.
I've done that a few times.
And oh my God, I know are coming. I did not get back to sleep. I was just... So the crux, the main part of this conference, and I'm really glad I didn't watch it live, stay up and watch it, because they showed immediately the Zelda trailer.
Yeah.
And then they spoke about Pokemon for 40 minutes.
Now, this is the new one, the iPhone and Android Pokemon, right?
No, I think this is Sun and Moon. This is the one that's coming out. It is coming out this year, I think.
Yeah, it is. It looks great, like the Hawaiian set, like the Hawaiian kind of...
it looks really great, but like...
Island vibe.
To be teased Zelda and then have to sit through 40 minutes of Pokemon, that's fucking tough.
Yeah.
So, they didn't, you know, like...
They knew what they were doing.
Nintendo didn't fuck. I mean, Pokemon sells more than Zelda anyway.
I think Pokemon
So responsible. It makes more sense for them to air a lot of Pokemon stuff. But...
Breath of the Wild
is the name of this new Zelda game, and it looks like everything I want a Zelda game to be.
Everything that you and I had a problem with Nintendo recently, with not being lied to, but, you know, being a bit like a carrot on the meter underneath a pony when you hit a pony, just being led around like a horse and a carrot, immediately evaporated from me, because it was like, oh, all those rumors about you doing Zelda, but finally not sticking to the tried and tested Nintendo formula of doing the same thing over and over again and slightly making it better, but just doing a whole new Zelda from the ground up. You actually did it, you madman.
Yep.
Yep. I mean, speak about it. You saw the trailer. What was the first thing you thought?
Like, I was like moved.
Yeah.
I just thought it was the most incredible, lush, and I was so curious at, you know, all of the new things that you can do.
Yeah.
Like, Link can jump now. And Link was...
You can actually interact with your environment.
And he was cutting trees down and then setting...
He was cutting trees down to use his bridges to cook
things. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the trailer was amazing. It looks like something out of a Studio Ghibli production. The art style's quite... I'm not too sure what it is yet. It's kind of cel-shaded in parts. It looks less paint-strokey and brushy than, say, Skyward Sword, but it doesn't look as all-out cel-shaded as The Wind Waker. I'm not sure what it is yet. I'm interested to see if it develops or if it's this kind of...
I will say, actually, the gameplay stuff that you saw in the treehouse looked a lot better than the trailer.
I saw the trailer and I didn't want to rain piss in anyone's pocket, but I immediately said... Levins and I immediately chatted about it. And I said, look, the game looks amazing, but to me, it still looks like an older-looking game.
Yeah, we have just finished Uncharted 4.
But also, this is a game coming out a year after Uncharted 4, so I'm just like, it needs to look slightly better than what it did in that trailer.
Maybe what they were showing it was on...
Yeah, maybe they were showing it on Wii U hardware.
Yeah,
maybe,
well, I mean, they were certainly playing it on Wii U hardware. Yeah.
I mean, let's speak from the ground up. Zelda, you know, used to be quite open world, the first one, I guess because of... narrative reasons, it became quite linear in the sense that you need an item which will there take you to the next level of the game in a dungeon, etc. So it was always, as much as it felt open world, it was kind of pretend open world. Like there was no way you could walk from, let's say, in Ocarina of Time from the Kakiri Forest to, is it Doom Mountain? No, what do they call it? Death Mountain?
Yeah.
You can't walk there without the screen doing it as Star Wars Iris and then open up again because it was loading new parts of the game. Like it was never... But this new Zelda is apparently 12 times what the size of Twilight Princess and you can walk from point A, one side of the map, to point Z on the other side in one... You know, like there's no load. It's open world. It's the game that we've been wanting since we've thought of gaming.
And it reminds me a lot of Shadow of Colossus in parts. Like, there's clearly a lot of... I've been influenced by a lot of games. Apparently, it's quite influenced by Skyrim.
Yeah, right.
Link can do a whole lot of different things, but things that you take for granted in Zelda games, because Zelda games are very by numbers. You know, it's less about, like, what brand new game we were about to play, but more of a, like, you know...
Can't wait to see what they do with the slingshot this time.
Or what new gimmick will be, like, the crux of this game.
Yeah.
The main focus point of this game.
Yeah, you know, it was amazing.
What dumb animal will you ride?
Yeah, but this is just kind of like they've gone, you know what? No, let's just do this from... I mean, it's like I said, imagine getting to play a new Mario game, but all of a sudden you're not wearing red and blue overalls and you can't get mushrooms that make you bigger and you can't collect coins. Like, that's what they've done with this Zelda. Like, one of the grandeds of Zelda is you're always wearing your green garb, you're always slicing down pots or smashing pots and slicing down grass to get yourself more health, more power-ups, whether it's rupees or whether it's arrows, whatever item you need. But this one, you can't do that. If you want to get health, you have to hunt an animal. Now, you can eat it raw. It's not going to give you as much health as if you cook it, but it's also not going to give you as much health as if you cook it with the right ingredients to make the best meal. Like, it's insane. It's
totally
temperature's
crazy.
Important. Like if you say, you know, you're at the bottom of one of the snowy levels and at the base of the mountain, it's quite warm. The higher you go, it gets cold. You're going to start losing health if you don't have the right clothes to wear. Now, I think it's not since The Adventure of Link, the second Zelda title in NES, that stats haven't come into play in Zelda ever in terms of like this shield is stronger than this. Zelda's a pretty stat-free game. It lost the stats. I mean, you know, it's quite an RPG element.
Yeah.
This one's got it all back.
Mm.
You can pick up any enemy's weapon.
So crazy.
It's insane. It's like you can jump and climb anything now.
Yeah, and then there's one weapon that attracts lightning strikes.
Yeah, if you have a metal weapon, anything metal, and it starts raining and it's thundering, you run the risk of being struck by lightning, or you can sabotage enemies by leaving that sword on the ground near their camp and like shocking them. It's amazing.
So crazy. There's a moment in the trailer where Link comes upon a group of enemies camping and just near a big tree with a beehive, and he slingshots the beehive, which then falls to the ground, and then the bees chase the enemies away.
It was very a very Metal Gear Solid moment. I thought Zelda-fied, like creeping up and hiding in grass and like tricking enemies so you can attack them.
So great.
And you can play this game stealthily if you want. Also, what's interesting, the physics, it's the first time physics have been in a Zelda that, you know, before if you want to get to a level and you couldn't get to it, chances are you needed the fucking hook shot or something, but now you can chop down a tree nearby. They're not just part of the environment, like they're fully approachable things. You chop it down and just make a bridge.
So exciting.
You can take your shield off at any time and like use it as a snowboard.
It just looks like such an engrossing game. I can't wait to just do nothing but play Zelda.
Yeah, and look, while we haven't played it, everyone has said that everyone that played it is like has got a completely different experience from the person next to them. They've said that there's no order. You can do whatever you want in this game in whatever order you want. Parts you can't get past because you might need stronger items or something. But I mean, what do you think it's set? I mean, what's interesting is it's the first time it sounds like it's got voice acting in it, which is a first for Zelda.
Yep.
Finally. It starts off with a voiceover saying, you've been asleep for 100 years, and you look like you're in like a Zelda-fied version of a cryogenic frozen tube, you know, and you wake up. It's kind of like very un-Zelda. It's kind of almost got a sci-fi element to
Definitely
it.
Definitely does. Yeah, yeah.
With a lot of like, I mean, it looks very Studio Ghibli, especially Laputo, Castle in the Sky, with kind of ancient robots, like modern things, but ancient versions of modern things. Like there's a lot of, you know, foreign lights and shining things, but it's kind of these great grandiose old statues that are robots and stuff by the looks of things. I don't know. It just looks like unlike anything we've seen in a Zelda before.
It's a blue lasers and shit.
Yeah, like, it's just, it's so interesting. And it's just, to me, I think it's such a ballsy move that Link's not wearing traditional Link clothing. Like it's pretty, this is exactly what I wanted Nintendo to do, but I really didn't think they had it in them to do a different...
I bet you he does get the hero's tunic at some point.
At one point, but I bet you it's not even the main focus. Bet you it's just like a cool item to have. I think they're really going out of their way here to be like, this ain't your granddaddy's Zelda.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want in this game.
Yeah, I think that's really attractive. I think a lot of people... Zelda's like a Pixar movie in a way, you know? Like the last few years, they're always great. They're always usually the best game of its time, but it has gotten to a point where you kind of know what you're going to get. As much as we love knowing that. And that's not a bad thing, I think. That's definitely not a criticism. But it looks like they've gone, you know what? Let's just go a bit weird this time. Let's do everything different. And, oh, man. I mean, and what's amazing, I mean, a huge problem that I had, and we've spoken about this on other episodes when we do our huge Nintendo rants. You can find out which ones they are. They're always the episodes where we speak nothing about Nintendo. But
call out Nintendo.
When we do call outs and muzzle Nintendo for an hour and a half, Nintendo, please respond. But... I think it was the one where the announcement... It was probably in the last month or so when it was announced that Zelda won't be showing anything at E3. Nintendo won't be showing anything and Zelda was going to be delayed to 2017 and be on the Wii U and NX.
Yeah, yes.
And immediately we were just like, this is the only console where we're never getting an original Zelda title made for it, for just a console in mind. And remember, then we were chatting about, well, what are they going to do? Does that mean it's going to be watered down on the Wii U or watered down on the NX? Now, what's interesting is the longtime Zelda producer was chatting...
Aonuma.
Yeah, Aonuma-san, if you want to be a wanker like I was just then, said it doesn't have the map on the gamepad. So, the gamepad has got nothing on it.
Right.
The only feature you can do on the gamepad is play it on the small screen, which is great because it sounds like the opposite of your recent Star Fox experience where the gamepad and looking at that second screen was so integral to the gameplay.
Fuck that game.
So he said at one stage they did have the map on it. They realized it's a bad... This is another big Nintendo admitting that they were wrong at something. They said it's a very bad experience to look down at the map on the screen and then look up on the television to figure it out. It's the map hub is now always on your screen on permanent display. There's no motion controls. So I'm thinking they're either doing that on the... To me, it sounds like they're making the game for the NX and it's being like just ported to Wii U in a sense. Like they're not making
knows?
It Wii U. You know what I mean? Like they're not using that screen. So that means that they're obviously focusing towards doing something else with that energy that's spent on that. And I find that really interesting and to me, a huge sigh of relief because it was just like, okay... They should be making this game is for the next console.
Definitely. Maybe they'll still announce that it will be. I don't know.
Yeah.
The craziest thing about this is that this is like the least fanfare going into E3 that Nintendo have ever had.
Yeah.
And in doing that, they kind of almost won
it. It was amazing. It's almost like they knew they had this secret weapon up their sleeve. And, you know, they obviously have a press officer. They obviously knew whatever the sentiment around them and that Wii U. Like, they know what's going on. And they could have said like, no, wait and see. But they just said nothing.
Yep, nothing.
Drop this bombshell.
That's definitely Nintendo style.
Oh, yeah. And 90% of anything you read about E3 is just everyone, game of the E3 this year.
IGN.
Breath of the Wild.
Gave to their best game of all of E3 was Zelda.
Yeah.
And every single games journalist there was just raving about it.
Any single games journalist worth their time.
For me, like that fun of watching that Sony conference from start to finish. It was almost like watching a great movie.
Yeah. We were loving it.
That was a perfect show. But I think, thinking on that, the whole, you know, E3 weekend of what we learnt was coming out, I think definitely Zelda is like
Yeah.
And fuck my shit up.
My
once
faith
again,
is restored.
Nintendo.
I mean, I know we have a very... I mean,
fuck my shit right up.
We are Nintendo fanboys through and through. And we have been very, for the last year, we've been...
Longer.
We've been abused spouses.
Yeah.
We have been... But we've been vocal about it. We haven't been walking into doors or falling down the steps.
I've been a little bit of an apologist and definitely, like, you know, singing the praises of certain games that don't really deserve the amount of praise I've been giving them.
Yeah, but that's what someone does who's in denial.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what someone does who's in denial. It's like, oh, no, he only hit me 3 times today, not 7. It's like, well, he's still hitting you, dude. That's a horrible thing. But I'm just looking at my Wii U collection. It's just sadly still going to be 10 games, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, there's a few holes that we could fill. Like, there's definitely some better games out there that we don't have.
Yeah, so. I mean, I've still got it. Yeah, but it's just like, you know what, Nintendo, they've been, you know, they've finally admitted their wrongs.
I'm also looking at your PS4 collection. I don't think you have more than 10 PS4 games.
Oh no, they're all in CD single cases, and they're over there behind it. They're there. You just can't see them.
Okay, don't worry, listeners. It's all good.
We're guys, fine. It's okay. Or they're exclusive big-ass box sets of Uncharted. Trust me, guys. They're there. Trust me, Daddy.
So that's what we have to look forward to playing in the next year, 2 years, 3 years.
Listen, that we've literally just laid out the great plan for the Hey Fam, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, Zelda to me is just like, shut up and take my money.
Fucking, I know.
And that was just on a Wii U tech demo. And, you know, as expansive and as amazing as everyone has said it is, they showed 1% of the game. I mean, it's just like, you know? Like, I just can't wait to see this new version. I can't wait to see what the hell the NX is. I mean, it's still kind of a... I was still a bit disappointed that Nintendo weren't like, oh, so here it is on the Wii U. And then, oh, but play it on their new console, the NX. Like, that would have been a huge moment.
I wonder if they're going to ride the success of this E3 and kind of do a Nintendo Direct in the next few weeks and
what's crazy
announce
is
even more.
When's the NX out? They're saying March 2017. Doesn't that seem to be...
Yeah, I think so. I think they just said 2017. Last thing. I don't trust...
That's 8 months. That's less than it takes to have a baby. Like,
I would know.
You would know. I have no idea how you make a baby. So don't spoil it for me. It's like Finding Dory. I don't know what Finding Dory's like. But I mean, Microsoft announced their console. I mean, at least they publicly acknowledged its existence in a conference.
But that's not coming out for way longer than the NX.
I know. That's what I mean. Yeah, Nintendo's got... It's less than a year and they're just like...
Who knows?
Maybe. Buy this Animal Crossing card that you can scan, mate.
Yo, I cannot wait to get a Waluigi amiibo and a King Boo glow-in-the-dark amiibo.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm really into that glow-in-the-dark amiibo.
It's real fucking cool.
I'm also into the fact that they're just normal... you know what? Let's speak about the amiibos for a minute.
Of course.
As a guy who hated amiibos and this guy is now like, they're cool AF.
Yeah.
Loving the fact... This is going to make me sound like a big old wuss, but they've got some nice Mario ones. It's not like aggressive Mario doing a fucking Ryu Ken fireball angry face.
I love that one.
Oh, I mean, to me, that's not Mario.
Yeah, but you got to... Yeah, it's Smash Mario.
I'd love the fact they're finally doing
Mario. No, that's been out for ages.
Oh, has it?
Yeah. The Mario Party ones came out.
Oh, okay. Goes to say how much I fucking love Amiibo.
This is the second series of Mario Party Amiibo that we're getting.
Okay. But there's a new Mario winner, right?
No, that's just a group of them all together.
But they're doing a traditional Wario, aren't they?
Which I'm excited about.
Yeah, that looks sick. The Boo looks sick. But more exciting is how good does the Breath of the Wild amiibo look?
Oh my god! And the one with
the Link on a horse.
Oh my god! We didn't even talk about the Last Guardian. The PS4.
Oh, but we kind of did the day, the week before at least. But yeah, it's coming out. It's got an October date now. Like,
yeah,
it's finally
that's
coming.
That we'll be playing very soon.
They didn't really show anything new, did they? Maybe a few new shots here or there.
Well, we learned that there's going to be two. There's two. There's not just the one Guardian left. There's a bad Guardian. In there too. So yeah, it's gonna be good. I mean,
it's lit.
But that game is definitely coming out this year. Yeah. Last Guardian.
Only 11 years in the making.
Yeah. I wonder if it's gonna live up to our expectations.
I mean, is it gonna be the Avalanches? Is it gonna be Guns N' Roses?
Who knows? Which is the good one out of those two?
Well, the Avalanches isn't out yet. I was using that as a good one in it because you know, it's the Avalanches. But we'll find out very soon. That's like in 2 weeks, I think. Less than 2 weeks.
Avalanches or...
Yeah.
All right, crazy.
Yeah, mental, right?
I mean, we're now Australia's premier Avalanches review podcast.
Well, yeah. I mean, thank God, you know, they didn't do anything for so long and no one spoke about them because... Yeah.
Yeah, so the Zelda amiibo for Breath of Fire, whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah.
The Guardian one, it's very confusing. There's Last Guardian in the game, and then there's Guardians in the Zelda game. You can pose, it's like a poseable leg figure. God, that's so good. I love
it. It looks great. And it looks, that's the one that kind of reminds me of something out of Laputa Castle in the Sky or Spirited Away or something. It's got this. So there's that. There's Link on the horse.
Yep.
And just normal badass, that shot we've seen of Link with the bow and arrow.
Very cool stuff.
Which is interesting. It's like this Link doesn't seem to have a defined sword, though we did see the Master Sword teased in the trailer.
In a throwback shot that looked like Link to the Past.
Yes. Yeah, in the garden or something in its sheath.
Oh, and you know what else is cool? The that very spectacular Wolf Link amiibo.
Oh, this is very cool.
Came with Twilight Princess Remastered.
We're looking at one right now.
It's on Angus's coffee table.
It's fantastic. With
So we got to finish Twilight Princess HD, dude.
Yeah, we
because
do.
Because you can use this wolf as like a tracker and he helps you fight enemies.
Yeah, and if you have like, say your Link in Twilight Princess, you know, by the end of the game, you've maxed yourself out to about 20 hearts or something.
Yep.
You can give yourself those 20 hearts by putting this on.
And the wolf just hangs out with you until he loses all his hearts.
I mean, so I guess it confirms the fact that the NX will, well, they'll have to, obviously has amiibo.
Oh, everything in Nintendo does from this point forward will be amiibo enabled.
I mean, look, this Zelda just washed the foul taste out of my mouth, which was, I know you played it, but that new Zelda Adventures on DS.
Yeah, I still reckon you and me should play that soon.
Really?
Yeah, it's a good game.
Yeah, just...
There's a good game in there. You just got to play it with two other people.
That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not easy to do that, is it?
I haven't tried that hard.
All right. Yeah.
I should try it. We should do it.
Damn, Nintendo. Just...
Yeah.
But yeah, wow. I'm back on board. I mean, I was always on board, but it was just great to see. I'm just really excited for the NX. I mean, is it portable? Is it...
We don't know.
Console? Is it... We really don't know.
I really just want to find out.
They should really lay it out for us.
Come on, Nintendo. I know you're listening. Just lay it out for your boys at Hey Fam. Don't make us get Steve Jobs on the line.
No. Also, I
know how threatened you are by Apple and dead people.
Now, look, I know we spoke about last week's episode a lot, but I did mention in that episode that in my spare time that week, I emailed a multinational conglomerate known as Coca-Cola. And when we left off there, I emailed them and pointed out, basically, blackmailed them into sending me something, which they didn't arrive today. And let's just say the swag pack is big. There's a great photo of us right now on
the Hey Fam Facebook page, which is facebook.com/HeyFamPodcast.
If you want to see what just taken 5 minutes out of your day to tell a huge company that there's a few errors on their Wikipedia page, this is what they do to thank you guys. And I'll tell you what, hope you like the colors red and white. Because there's a hell of a lot of that in this.
And image. I hope you like two boys hanging out side by side with matching Coca-Cola yo-yos.
Just a couple of rude dudes, hanging. A
couple of real Pepsi fans.
Big old Pepsi Cola fans, just like the Back to the Future movies.
That's all we got time for you today, boys and girls. But hey, fam, we'll be back next week with me, Levins, and him, Angus.
Oh, Truscott. Yeah, if you have me back.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I'd love
for
you
to be back. I'm not visiting my sweatshop.
I cannot wait to find out more about Zelda video games and Angus's fashion line.
So exciting.
You can find us online at facebook.com/HeyFamPodcast or send us an email to heyfampodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and if you aren't into video games, then I don't care if you didn't like this episode.
I don't give a fuck, dog. We talked about movies at the beginning.
Yeah. Go see the movies, dog. We also haven't kept our word on catching up on Preacher. We'll do that.
Yeah, we'll do a TV episode at some point.
Yeah, we'll do that. And, you know, tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. We might listen if we like it.
Yeah, definitely. And if you want us... Yeah, you can tell us. What if you're listening right now, we've been loving hearing people getting back to us after our weird call-outs at the end of each episode. We will do some commentaries very soon. We just found out that the Batman v Superman extended cut is coming out soon.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the idea of hearing two very sad boys talking about Batman v Superman for 3.5 hours as they watch it.
It's better than listening to one really sad boy and one very sad boy. look, as soon as we said we were going to do commentaries, I don't think we've had that much of a fan response in a long time. So we're definitely going to be doing commentaries. I'm thinking we might even do a live one.
I think we should do a live
commentary. I think we should go to a venue somewhere and pop on a film and do a Hey Fam live commentary. Would you guys come to that? Not a huge-ass Hey Fam live episode, which we will be doing another one.
We see our good pals at Golden Age Cinema might be accommodating.
Yeah, I think we might put on a film, which we... It's like a hate fuck. I think we'll sit there and hate fuck the movie.
Perfect. Sounds great.
I mean, I think that's what we should call it.
Yeah.
Hey Fam hate fucks and then a movie we don't like that much.
I love it.
Pixels. We've got to do Pixels still.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And... But yeah, the question that I ask you right now is, what kind of episode should we do next week?
Yep.
Do you want a video game episode again, a movie episode, or a TV episode? Or should we get drunk and invite a Melbourne comedian to come and have allergies on Angus's couch?
Yeah, look, if we're getting any more comedians on the show, they better be allergic to something in this house.
They have to fill out a form. What are you allergic to? And then we just douse them with it.
Yeah, if you're allergic to penicillin, hey, open wide, fuck face.
I'm actually allergic to penicillin.
Are you really?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's like Panadol and shit, right?
No, that's no. Paracetamol.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I'm not allergic to anything. I'm like, fuck me up, fam. Really? How do you get administered penicillin?
I was given it incorrectly when I had glandular fever when I was in my early teens.
Dude.
Late teens. And my entire body puffed up. Especially my face, and I was all puffy, and I don't remember like 3 days of my life.
That's hectic. Well, starting next week, we'll be feeding Levin's penicillin, and you'll hear what that sounds like.
See you next week, fam. I can't wait to die.
My only weakness is capitalism.
Hey, fam, 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 fam.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.